Betsy Blair was Gene Kelly's first wife. But it's the story of a particular moment in New York and Hollywood history, not her marriage, that takes center stage in her new memoir, The Memory of All That. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
Literary autobiographies written by overshadowed spouses, children, or friends of the famous present themselves as calls to both conscience and pleasure. Conscience, because we egalitarian-minded readers feel duty-bound to be interested in the lives of the little people trailing in the celebrity's wake. Pleasure, because along the way, we can expect to be rewarded with gossip. But if the celebrity satellite is a good storyteller in his or her own right, we switch allegiances during the course of reading and begin to enjoy being in less exalted company, away from the frenzy of renown. That's how Betsy Blair's engrossing autobiography, The Memory of All That, works. Blair was Gene Kelly's first wife. They met when she was 16 and he was 28, and married a year later, just before he got his big break in Hollywood in 1941. The marriage lasted for 15 years. They had a daughter together, and even after their divorce, precipitated by what Blair calls an upsurge of her delayed adolescence, Blair and Kelly remained friends. Blair herself was an actress and dancer, but this autobiography isn't about trying to wrest the star's spotlight away from Kelly. Blair isn't bitter about her second banana status. The worst thing she ever says about Kelly is that he was paternalistic. Otherwise, she's gracious towards him as a husband and admiring of his ambition to democratize dance in American movies. Admittedly, Blair's voice as a writer is as unadorned as her stage name, but it's not literary style that distinguishes this memoir, it's substance. Blair has wonderful stories to tell about the artistic vitality of New York and Hollywood during the late 1930s and into the 40s. And because she was very politically active in leftist organizations, she even tried to join the Communist Party, but the party nixed her because of her famous husband. Blair offers thoughtful insider commentary about the corrosive effects of the McCarthy era in Hollywood. Kelly, Blair assures us, remained true to his liberal principles during this period, discreetly helping to support blacklisted writers and actors and publicly testifying in Washington on behalf of the Hollywood Ten. Long before these tough times, however, there was New York, New York. It really was a hell of a town when 16-year-old Betsy from Cliffside, New Jersey, arrived in the spring of 1940, answering a Chorus Line casting call for Billy Rose's Diamond Horseshoe Nightclub. Blair was a prodigy, pushed into dance by the loving ambitions of her mother and bound for Sarah Lawrence College in the fall. But in a twist of fate that MGM's factory of scriptwriters might have dreamt up, Bobby Soxer Blair was swept off her career track by Billy Rose's choreographer, a fleet-footed nobody named Gene Kelly. Kelly took it upon himself to induct Blair into what she later dubs Kelly University. He gave her advanced lessons in history and art by conducting personally guided tours through New York City. Can you imagine? Their courtship was sort of a real-life version of On the Town. By day, they explored the Museum of Modern Art, the Cloisters, Chinatown, the Village, and the Battery. By night, after the show, they went dancing at Polish beer halls. Blair met Kelly's politically progressive friends and joined a Marxist study group. They married, took a cross-country honeymoon trip, and arrived in Hollywood at the behest of David O. Selznick on December 7, 1941. That seems like a bad omen. But for years, Blair's life there with Kelly was joyous. They hosted parties every Saturday night with friends like Lena Horne, Leonard Bernstein, and Orson Welles, and surprise drop-ins like Greta Garbo. Blair's autobiography also gives readers a sense of what may seem like, especially these days, an oxymoron, the intellectual life of Hollywood. There were Sunday afternoon teas with Christopher Isherwood and Thomas Mann, and strolls with Bertolt Brecht, who talked to Blair about socialism. The Memory of All That is a wistful, illuminating, and strikingly generous autobiography. Like the chorus dancer she was and the communist she aspired to be, Betsy Blair puts her allegiance to the group first, and the result is a lively composite portrait of a golden age in New York and Hollywood until McCarthy came along and dimmed the lights.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Memory of All That by Betsy Blair.